Welcome to the R&R Show. We are continuing taking episodes this year to talk about the doctrine of God, who God is, His nature, different aspects of what the Bible tells us about God. And today, Jacob, we're going to talk about God's glory in the sense of God's reputation or God's honor.
Yep. So we're going to start off. Let me read you a quote here. Apparently, every week, about 10 million people listen to the services from Joel Osteen's church. Now, listen, if you do, please don't tell your senior pastor because it will make them want to go and lay in the middle of Horner Boulevard. But today, we're going to read you a quote from one of their services. This is Joel's wife, and she says, "I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy." All right. So that's the quote. And I can hardly say it without wanting to be sick. But listen, here's the question for today. What is God's main motivation? What is it that motivates God in most of what He does is what Sam and I are talking about today. And when you listen to this quote, she makes it seem like it's all about our happiness and our benefit. Do you get that sense, Sam?
Absolutely. And it's an astonishing quote. We've actually used it in one of our previous shows last year, I think during the summer. But it really illustrates, Jacob, I think what many people believe about God's main motivation for all that He does in the world. And what's very, I think, deceiving about statements like this, or when people come out and make these grand statements about God wanting us to be happy, you have to really look at what she's saying. She says that God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy. And the problem with her statement is that there's some truth to the fact that God is concerned about His people's happiness. I mean, He does want us to know the fullness of joy, as Christ says in the Gospel of John. And we read about this in Paul's letters. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of joy. But what she's saying here is that we should do good because God wants us to be happy, as if that is what is the main motivation for all that God does, just to make sure that we're happy. And that's just not what the Bible teaches.
It's not. But when you listen to this, it almost kind of explains a lot of what's going on in churches today. You know, we had the problem of people looking at church and worship with a consumer mindset, that it's all about me. It's all about my preferences and what I like. Is it my kind of music? Is it my kind of preaching? Well, if you listen to Victoria here and she says that the number one thing is your happiness, that makes sense. Or when you have churches that are filled and being poisoned by the prosperity gospel, it adds up. You know, if you think that God's main motivation is your happiness, then you're going to be much more susceptible to this type of bad theology, right, Sam?
It is bad theology, and you don't want to take this in another direction, which could also be wrong, and say, which is wrong, that God is concerned about us being miserable. God doesn't want His people to just be sad and unhappy. He certainly wants us to be broken over our sins and have a godly sorrow for that, but it's not God's intention to make us into gloomy people. And I think there are times when that is often portrayed in this kind of false dichotomy. Oh, you're saying God doesn't want His people to be happy? God just wants us to be miserable? No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that the scriptures tell us what God's primary motivation is, and it's much deeper than our personal happiness.
Right. So like Sam's already alluded to at the beginning, today we're focusing on what the Bible actually says makes God happiest, what the Bible actually teaches is God's main motivation, and that is His glory. Right, Sam?
Exactly. In fact, let's look at what the scriptures have to say about this concern that God has for His glory. Perhaps one of the most important texts, or often quoted text is from 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it reads there, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now, just think about that. Here's what the scripture says. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. That is a wide scope, Jacob. I mean, it doesn't get much wider than that.
I mean, that makes it sound like the point of our life, the point of our day-to-day living is what? It's for the glory of God.
And let's just stop and think about this. Whether you eat or drink, some of the most mundane things you could think of, just the necessary parts of life.
Wait. That implies we might not eat or drink. I'm not really excited about that.
Well, Jesus said when you fast.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
Whether you eat or drink that day, or if you're fasting, would be included as well. Everything that we do, every aspect of our lives, every moment of our day is supposed to be lived out for God's glory.
All right, let's look at the next passage here, classic. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So let's compare and contrast that with Victoria here. Victoria says, "You do good because that's going to make you happy." And then we compare this to the scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Why are we supposed to do good works? It's so that God, our Father in heaven, will get glory. It's very different.
It is very different. So Victoria Osteen says, "Do good because that will make you happy." She's saying that should be our motivation. Well, as Christians, when we do good, there should be a joy in doing good. There should be a gladness in doing good. But the scripture doesn't say do good for the intent of your happiness. That's a byproduct of your doing good. You do good so that what? First, other people will see it. So this is the idea of being a good witness. This is doing good for the benefit of others. Why? So that they'll glorify your Father.
And think about this. If the main motivation, the main point is our happiness, well then, gosh, God would never command Sam or I to do something that doesn't make us happy, right? I mean, if the main point is for us to just be happy, then we're going to like all of God's commands. We're going to understand all of His commands. But if the main point is God's glory instead of our happiness, there may be some times where we don't like the commands, but we understand that we still have to follow them. Or God may call us to do something uncomfortable, but because it's not all about our happiness and comfort, Sam, we're still going to do it, right?
Right. I think, you know, Victoria Osteen's comments, it shows really a lack of understanding or a lack of willing to acknowledge some important truths about God, some important truths about man, about human beings. And if I just choose what will make me happy and think that that's just perfectly fine, that's going to accord with God's will all the time, then I don't know my Bible very well. I don't have a very good understanding of the reality of the presence of sin, because as we live in this body, we're going to have sinful desires. And if I just sinfully desire something, but hey, it'll make me happy, that is clearly not glorifying God.
And happiness is so fleeting. You know, what makes you happy one day is not going to be what makes you happy the next. And it's just not very dependable, you know, because as we change and get older, and it's just not a good priority for your life to always be about what makes you happy at that specific moment.
Right. You get the sense that the happiness she's talking about is tied to just whatever would please us. It's kind of a surface happiness it's very much circumstantial. Whatever would be pleasing to us at that moment. You go ahead and you do good because that will make you happy, and there's just nothing much deeper than that.
Seriously, 10 million people every Sunday listen to this. Okay, anyway, so back to God's glory, which is what it's
actually... Well, hold on a minute, though. Okay, now think about this. 10 million people, Jacob, because I think, again, this is why so much false teaching is so appealing, because it puts forward half-truths many times. Again, it's not that God doesn't care about His people's well-being and their happiness, and yet to dangle that out there in the way that she has with this statement, and I'm sure other things that she and Joel say, it doesn't give the full picture, and therefore it gives a false picture. It just, we have this human desire for happiness, but the way that it's being peddled here, it's apart from God, and that's the real tragedy of it.
Yeah. All right, so this...
But you can see why it's so appealing.
Well, yeah, because whatever makes you happy. Hey, we're trying to tell people, deny yourself and take up your cross. And she's like, you do you, honey. You do what makes you happy. I mean, it's hard to compete with Santa Claus. Okay, so back to God's glory. This theme is not just something that we're pulling out of nowhere or making up. This is all throughout the Bible. And we could give you tons of examples. Sam, you want to give us some Old Testament examples?
Well, sure. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. I won't read that scripture exactly, but if you go there, what it'll tell you is that God created his people for his glory. That's why we were created.
Yeah. Romans chapter 9, if you go and read that, it talks about how God raised up Pharaoh and orchestrated the entire Exodus event for his glory. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 4. And you'll see that God had Pharaoh go chasing the Hebrews into the Red Sea so he could be glorified.
And he got his glory over the Egyptian army. And all the peoples, all the Canaanites and others heard about it, and it magnified God's name. 2 Samuel 7:23, in fact, tells us about that. Tells us there that God gave his people victory in Canaan for the glory of his name.
You know, you fast forward years and years later, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22, it says that God restored Israel out of exile for his glory. And look, we could go all through the Old Testament and find these snippets where it tells us that the reason God is doing what he's doing, it's not just for our happiness. It was for his glory. But we can also jump into the New Testament. Let's just look at some of these from the Gospel of John, Sam.
Right, and we can see this throughout the New Testament. And we're talking about God's glory in the sense of God's concern for his honor, his concern for his reputation and his fame. Even in John 5:44, it tells us there that Jesus is talking there, and he tells us that if you're not seeking God's glory, you're probably not a believer. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, wanted men to honor them and praise them, yet they didn't care about God's fame, his reputation.
You know, going forward a few chapters, John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus says that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. You know, even the Holy Spirit's main point here, his main goal is to bring glory to God.
John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus is in his high priestly prayer says, you know, Father, I desire that my followers see my glory. So Jesus's ultimate aim is for us to see his glory.
The reason that we have fruits of righteousness, the reason that we have fruit of the Spirit, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says that the point of that is for God's glory.
Then we go to Romans chapter 1, verse 22. And you can really, much of chapter 1, but beginning in verse 22 through 25, Jacob, there, Paul is saying that we are all, as human beings, we're under judgment. We need a Savior because we've dishonored God's glory. It talks about the fact that God gave up those that refused the gospel, refused to honor him. He gave those persons up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. That was the judgment, giving people up to the lusts of their heart. And why did they do that? I love verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So the Romans 1 people are worshiping and serving the creation rather than the one who made the creation, the creator himself.
Okay, so Sam, we've just gone through a little bit of the Old and the New Testament. We only have 30 minutes to talk, so we can't look at all the scriptures, but we've made kind of a biblical case that God's main concern, his main goal, is for his glory, for his fame. So I mean, what do we do with that? We want to give people some hands-on application. What does that mean to the average believer?
Okay, Jake, when I was thinking about these verses that we just read or referred to, I think the first place to begin is to recognize that right now, today, we live in a Romans 1 culture. Okay, we live in a culture that the Bible says that we're all worshipers. The question is, what are we going to worship, or who are we going to worship? And I think that's a question that for those of us as Christians, any person really needs to get a real grasp on the fact that we will worship someone or something, whether it is a material possession, whether it is another person. The question is, though, do we understand what it means to worship and to glorify God, and start there? You know, what is it that our hearts are constantly thinking about? Are we truly glorifying God? Are we giving Him the worship that's due His name? Practically speaking, Jacob, I would say, let's just look at our daily lives. What are we doing? How are we living out our daily lives? And we could think about that in a number of different ways.
Yeah, the first thing that jumps into my mind is, you know, like you said, we live in a Romans chapter 1 society where it's all about us and what makes us happy, what makes us feel good. And as you look at these scriptures that we've looked at and we talk about these things, the average believer, maybe we should ask ourselves, you know, is the way that I'm living my life, is my priorities, the way that I spend my time, spend my resources, is the main thing honoring God? Am I living my life as if the main point was to bring God honor and glory? Or am I living my life in a way that is just for my comfort? I guess that's the first thing I think about.
Well, I think exactly. And I think there are professing Christians that would say, oh, yes, you know, I love God, or oh, yes, I believe in God. But it can be very surface. It's not just checking a box saying I'm a Christian. Do we truly see a difference in the things that we're concerned about with the rest of the world, with people that would not profess Christ? And sometimes it's good for us to do those checkups, self-examinations.
Yeah, and we can talk about church a little bit here too. You know, if we understand that the main point of everything is to bring God glory and to make Him famous, then maybe everything at our church doesn't have to revolve around our preferences and what we like and what makes us comfortable. You know, I don't know whether you like it or not, but I listened to Francis Chan talk one time, and he said this guy came up to him after worship, and he goes, you know, I really didn't care for worship today. The music style wasn't my favorite. And Francis Chan said, well, that's okay. It wasn't for you. You know, so
yeah.
Maybe it's not all about us at church either.
Well, you know, that is something that we should just take a little time, meditate upon that, and ask, are we going to church, to a worship service, to actually worship God? Are we going there with a desire to have our own preferences met? That would be a good place to start.
All right. Anything else?
Well, I would just say, do we have an interest in the things of God? Do we have a desire to go and be with God's people? And that can be a tricky thing right now with many churches. But is there that heart's desire to actually sit under a message from the Word of God, to take time to pray, or are we just so consumed with other things? I think it's possible for true believers, true Christians, to get caught up in the things of the world to where they become cold to the things of God. But that's not where we need to stay. We need to make sure that we are keeping that fire lit for the things of God. And those things are very simple, Jacob. It sounds like repetition, but are we in the Word of God? Are we taking time to fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit? Are we setting aside time for daily prayer? Those types of things. And that can give us a true indication of where our heart is.
All right. So somebody listening who's thinking about this may say, well, y'all are saying that God's main thing is His own glory, His own fame. Does that make God an egomaniac? Does it make it out like God is really full of Himself? What would you say to that person, Sam?
That's a question I think many people might be asking, especially the fact that we're taking a whole year at least to most weeks talk about an aspect of God, an area that the Bible teaches about God. And would God really want us to spend time on himself? I mean, Jacob, we could be talking about so many other things that God must be concerned about rather than himself. But that wouldn't be right, would it? Because this is the most important topic we could have. In fact, God is the only being that exists who should be completely self-centered.
Well, and here's the difference. You know, if it were you or I or anybody that we know who was talking like this, that's a fallible, sinful person with flaws.
Right.
You know, the best person that you know, your favorite person in the world, your great-grandma Shirley, who loves the Lord and is sweet, she's a sinner too. And we don't want to put them on a pedestal. But when we place, you know, God on a pedestal, he's the only perfect being. He is perfect love, perfect righteousness, and that's something that people should look up to and want to be more like and follow.
I think I use the term self-centered. God is the most God-centered being there is. And he that's because he's God, and he's the only being that's deserving to view himself that way. And that's what makes the world a better place. That's what makes it worth living in, because God is ultimately concerned with his glory. And that's, Jacob, that is really where our happiness in the sense of Bible joy is tied. When we come to understand that it's not making the most out of ourselves, it's not living a self-centered life, but living a God-centered life. And out of that, living for others, that we'll find true joy and happiness.
Yep. So for this week, we're just going to encourage you to live your life in a way that brings God honor and glory and makes him the center. And any closing words?
I think that's a great prayer and a great desire, that if we can look for ways to make much out of God this week, that would be a great thing to do.
All right.
We look forward to being with you next Tuesday. God bless.